T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios, presented to you by your local Hyundai dealers. You're listening to Chicago's number one sports station. 670 The Score is Chicago Sports. Chicago Sports is The Score. A radio.com sports station. WSCR and HD Chicago. WBMX HD2 Chicago. The Score! Mully and Hall, live and local. Chicago sports talk for your morning on 670 The Score.
What do you make of CBS Jason Lockenfora saying that Seattle had gotten, you know, calls for possible, you know, trade talks with you? Do you believe that, Seattle has gotten calls?
Yeah, I definitely believe they've gotten calls for sure. I think that, anytime you're, a player that, you know, tries to produce every week and has done it for, you know, consistently, I think people are going to call for sure. And I think it's part of the process.
Yeah, but you're a franchise quarterback. You're a Hall of Fame quarterback. You're not available, are you?
Well, I'm not sure if I'm available or not. That's a Seahawks question. But I think more than anything else is, I think at the end of the day, you want to win. You know, you play this game every day to wake up to win. You play this game, you know, to be the best in the world. You know, what I hate? I hate sitting there watching other guys play the game.
Dream. Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Hey, Bears fans, you can dream. Russell Wilson perhaps coming available, perhaps not. He was on the Dan Patrick Show on February 9th. Which seems like a long time ago, but probably only a couple weeks back. What are we at? The 25th? The 26th?
26th. Today's the 26th.
Yes. Friday. You know why I know that? Oh. Johnny Cash was born on the 26th.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
How did you know Johnny Cash's birthday?
It up today. Erykah Badu is 50 today. Ah, got a ton of time for her. She's great. Yep. The phenomenal, wonderful Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, the manager of Manchester United, is 48 today. And your guy, Recep Erdogan, is 67, the Turkish strongman that you support so vehemently.
Okay. Who are you accusing me of?
I'm pointing out facts.
Yeah, Johnny Cash, not necessarily my guy. But happy birthday to Johnny Cash anyway.
Well, I fell into a burning ring of fire, and it was about it was about Russ. It was about this possibility of the Bears getting a quarterback. And
well, you can dream a little. We can, what is the alternative? That is always the case. It's not like they have a better option, and it's not like anything else makes more sense. If you are included on his list, you have to wonder why. What is it about the Bears that potentially appealed to Russell Wilson? What does he see that we don't? Because when you look at that roster, and you look at the situation with the coach and the general manager and what we perceive to be win or else scenarios in 2021, why would Russell Wilson waive his no trade clause to come to the Bears, one of four teams that was reported in Adam Schefter's story or tweet that he would be willing to go to? I don't know. I don't know why the Seahawks would entertain trading this guy. I've always been a big fan of Russell Wilson, but I do think that he would make the Bears legit NFC contenders, depending on how much you had to give up to get him. But I don't think that would change the fact that you would have one of the five, if not one of the three best quarterbacks in the NFL. I've got Mahomes, I've got Rodgers, and then I go Russell Wilson.
Wow. That's pretty impressive. Yeah. Well, I mean, I
don't think, you?
I don't know that I have him third. He's in the top five. I haven't sat down and listed my quarterbacks in front of me in a little bit, but I got your point. He's a hell of a player. Tom Brady has gone to Tampa and won a Super Bowl, and by all accounts, Russ was sitting next to Roger Goodell watching that game and seeing a guy that had plenty of time to throw and thinking, why can't I be protected? I've been sacked 394 times in 9 years. Why am I always the one that seems to be getting hit? Now, he controls that to a certain extent. He hangs on to the ball too long, but he does like this new wave of quarterbacks, and we'll talk to our Jim Miller later on in the program. It does seem as if things are changing pretty quickly here, David, with the idea that quarterbacks, and I think there's nothing wrong with including a quarterback in a conversation. I'm not suggesting that he pick the player, but if you say to a guy, hey, how's the offense going? What do you need? How do you feel about, you know what? I need more protection. We've got to do something at right tackle. I have no problem with a guy saying something like that in a private conversation with the general manager. Or if he says, you know, I'm watching a lot of football, why don't we have a better slot receiver? That would give me more time and we could do. I have no problem with that. And I think that the great quarterbacks over the years have had that ability to communicate with the people around them. I just think that now they want more say than ever. And maybe quarterbacks that aren't with it long enough or aren't in the same position as the Tom Brady want more say. Let me ask you this question. If the Bears get Russ, do players want to come here to play for Russ, to play with Russ? Would you then have, you know, your version of a bunch of guys? I don't know. Is there a Gronk in Russ's life that wants to come out of retirement and play with him? Would that make the Bears more of a destination if you felt there's a chance to win there?
Without a doubt. Without a doubt. And as much as there is maybe an undercurrent of kind of cynicism surrounding Russell Wilson and maybe the too good to be true factor in everything that he says and how well he's really well packaged, right? I mean, this is a guy whose image is finely cultivated and he is a star. But I still think that if he were to come to Chicago, if he goes to Dallas, if he goes to the Raiders, you know, wherever he ends up, the Saints, that becomes a destination because of him. People are going to want to follow somebody who is going to a place where they feel like they can win the Super Bowl. There will be the Tom Brady effect. And I think Russell Wilson wants to have that kind of impact on a franchise. So he was sitting there, according to the great story that was in The Athletic. Yep. You know, Michael Sean Duggar, Mike Sando, Jason Jenks. That was a terrific piece of sports journalism. And it revealed that this is about power, but how he was sitting there at the Super Bowl texting his agent saying, I should be out there on the field, and that is driving him. So you would want to be part of that if you were a player having a choice in that equation, and Russell Wilson definitely would be the first, the most important piece, but others you think would follow. Absolutely.
And like I said, I don't want Russ to come in and be your draft scout and tell you who to take, but I wouldn't mind hearing what he thinks positionally, who he thinks, you know, what he thinks helps him the most as a player. You know, he's not a perfect player. He does hang on to the ball too long. He has taken sacks that are his fault because he hasn't released the ball as quickly as he needs to. But he is so much closer to a perfect player than anybody the Bears have at the position. And he, because he is an entity unto himself, he would be able to succeed in whatever offense that you wanted to run for him. Now, he might have preferences, and guess what? You got to take that into account, Matt Nagy. It's not about you and your scheme. It's about how he fits into your scheme and what he likes doing and what he doesn't like doing. But that should always be a part of what you're doing. I think, you know, it's fascinating to me to think back on the Super Bowl. And, you know, Andy Reid went into that Super Bowl with a kind of renewed reputation. A year ago, winning the Super Bowl put Andy into a different category than he had been. He had been the guy that could get to a big game but couldn't win it. He had been a guy that went to a lot of championship games, but not a lot of Super Bowls. And then he finally gets this breakthrough. He gets to the Super Bowl, and he wins it. And so it's Andy and all he's done and his great offense and everything that's happened. And then you look at this year, and the guy has injury problems with his offensive line. He has multiple backup players being forced to play in the Super Bowl, and his game plan doesn't reflect it. His game plan for the big game is to send five out like he likes to send five out, and unfortunately that doesn't leave enough protection for the quarterback, and frankly his great offense is overwhelmed, and I would argue maybe because of the game plan. Maybe because of a failure to take into account the fact that you probably needed more protection and more help, even with your genius offense. And it's not like he's Joe Madden. He didn't lose his reputation while winning his Super Bowl. He won his Super Bowl. He gets back to the game. You talk to people around the league, they feel that the problem with the Super Bowl was Andy Reid. That he did not have the correct game plan.
Yeah, and to a lesser degree, Patrick Mahomes didn't have his finest night either. Maybe the two things are related, and that's just accountability, responsibility. And Russell Wilson needs to take some accountability and responsibility for his play in the second half of the season. It wasn't as good as it was the first half when he came out, and early on he was an MVP candidate. It's remarkable that he's never received an MVP vote. For a guy as consistent as he has been, but he is an impact guy immediately. He, regardless of, you would start to build with Russell Wilson, but he would immediately make you, if you're the Bears, so much better and so much more legitimate. And if you're Matt Nagy, it's a no-brainer. I mean, you have to, he is your assistant.
Explore every possibility. Yeah.
Yeah.
You have to explore it. You have to try. Yeah.
And if you're Nagy, you let him have, a say with calling plays. You let him have all these things. How good does it make the Bears? That's a good question. Maybe people have ideas. 312-644-6767. I think it would make them instantly NFC contenders because their defense would be intact and their offense would be, dangerous.
Yeah, listen, I got a lot of time for this possibility. It would be a ton of fun. I don't know why I think it's more dream than reality. I don't know why I'm not more all in on it. I think, you couldn't even get Carson Wentz here. I don't know how much they'd be willing to give up. I don't know what kind of permission they have. You would think it would be a couple number one picks at the minimum, and it might be more than that. But I know that a quarterback affects a game a hell of a lot more than a linebacker. I know that you got to be willing to make a big deal to get a big player, and I think they're willing to do that. I don't know from a Seahawks perspective that they're not going to come to their senses. That again, this isn't the player hasn't demanded the trade, the team hasn't said they're looking into it, but the fact is he's unhappy, and they're not willing to give him whatever role it is that he wants in the thing or whatever protection it is he's asking for. So there is a sort of a standoff with him and the team, which means possibility for other teams.
Pete Carroll, as Brad points out, isn't known as a guy that's tough to play for. And
no.
I think you're right about the Seahawks, but I don't know if they need to come to their senses. I think there's just a suggestion that there's a rift in the relationship, and that's probably because of Russell Wilson, not so much the Seahawks. They're dug in. I don't see Pete Carroll at 70 years old changing his philosophy to how to win on Sundays, nor would I. If I were Pete Carroll, be challenged or motivated by the fact that this guy, my quarterback, as much as I am grateful for all that he has meant to my career, I'm not changing now. I'm 70. I'm successful. I believe in what I believe, and I'm not going to change that because I have ruffled the feathers of somebody who's, some people consider a prima donna. Russell Wilson would be a great addition anywhere, but he's got a sizable ego that has been bruised based on what happened the second half of last season. Seahawks aren't going to vary from that. This is somewhat fantasy football. We have to discuss it, but we also have to be grounded by the reality. That's a very smart organization, and smart organizations don't just get rid of franchise quarterbacks.
Yeah, and I don't see it happening here. I do understand the rift. I do understand the disappointment the quarterback feels. And, you know, a quarterback's best friend is the running game. You know, I know we always talk about the tight end. The running game is going to open up a lot for you. It's going to make you – and they have used that philosophy. And when you think of them in their heyday when they were winning, you know, they had a great running back. And he carried the mail, and it really made a huge impact with that offense. When you think about Seattle, it wasn't just the Legion of Boom. That was a fun nickname. They had a really good defense, don't get me wrong. And Pete Carroll's a great defensive guy. But the offense had a running game, and they were able to strike down the field without having the greatest wide receivers. And maybe that's part of the frustration that Russ has felt. They have evolved to a point where he's no longer on his rookie contract. He's making more money. He's the guy that is driving the thing, and they got to win in a different way. And maybe they need to get back to some running ways and do some other things that will help him run that offense.
Like Aaron Rodgers and Mahomes, certainly, he's sort of in a different category. But Aaron Rodgers always has elevated the play of his wide receivers and the weapons around him. Russell Wilson has done the same thing in Seattle.
Yes.
You know, and now that he has a superstar in DK Metcalf, a guy whose skill set is there, I would be careful what you wish for, Russell Wilson, because you have a pretty good framework for a very good team that could contend for a Super Bowl if you fix your offensive line and tweak your defense a little bit. But the infrastructure is there more so than some of the teams that are on his list. But, you know, if he goes to one of those teams other than the Bears, then they have to probably get rid of one of their quarterbacks. And I don't know if you don't see very many quarterback for quarterback deals. That's why we're paying attention. There's a domino effect. And the Bears, frankly, don't have any better alternatives at the moment.
312-644-6767. That's the telephone number. Are you buying this as a legitimate possibility? Did you hear this story and get a little bounce in your step? Did you feel, oh my God, this is going to happen this offseason that has been one of kind of speculation and frustration is going to turn in the Bears' favor? Do you believe that the Bears are going to come out of this thing with the guy that can operate under center and make them the best team in the division? I don't even think we're talking Super Bowl, because once you can win the division, that makes you a very dangerous team in the conference, and that's how you win a Super Bowl. So give us your thoughts, 312-644-6767. It's Mully and Hall on The Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago's sports station.
Are you involved in personnel decisions? Have you been involved in personnel decisions?
Not as much. I don't, you know, I think that, you know, for
do you
for me,
want to be involved, Russ?
Yeah, I think it helps. I think it helps you to be involved more. But I think that dialogue should happen more often, in my opinion.
Yeah, but look, I'm worried about these numbers. You've been sacked 394 times in your career. So you're going to be the most sacked quarterback in the history of the game. Why?
Yeah. Well, I think that, you know, sometimes you hold on to it a little bit, you know, just because you're looking for that play and you find those guys, but also so many times it turns into touchdowns too. But, you know, you never want to be sacked that many times. You know, 400 times basically is way too many, 400 too many, you know, so I think that's a big thing that we got to fix. That's got to be fixed, you know, and has to be, you know, at the end of the day, because, you know, my goal is to play, you know, 10 to 15 more years.
There you go, little Johnny Cash's birthday. Mully and Haw on The Score. Always good to remember the man in black. And I hope we get some Erica Badu before we get out of here, because she's well worth it. And Ollie. Ollie's at the wheel. It's also his birthday. David, that, of course, Russell Wilson talking on February 9th with Dan Patrick. And we've got a lot of calls, and we're going to get to them. But I just wanted to run down the list, if I could, of available quarterbacks for the Bears. So we know that Russ would be interested, but he's not on the market right now. You look at Matthew Stafford's gone to the Rams. Carson Wentz is in Indy. Dak Prescott, they've said they're going to put the franchise tag on him, and it's a ridiculous number. Jimmy Garoppolo, we just heard from John Lynch the other day saying, I believe Jimmy is our guy. And then Deshaun Watson, I think we've discussed the possibility that he might end up forcing a trade, but he's not a guy the Bears have the kind of firepower that you could trade for him. I just don't believe that, I'm going to say that we've settled that. So help me out if I'm missing someone here. But on the veteran market, that leaves you with Jameis Winston, depending on what happens with the Saints, and Drew Brees still hasn't retired yet, but he's supposed to, and the Saints are supposed to sign Jameis Winston. Sam Darnold with the Jets, they have not made a decision yet as to which way they're going to go in the draft. We talked about Marcus Mariota, and we found out that if he's a starter, his number doubles to like $21, $22 million a year. Cam Newton needs a team, David. I don't know where he's at with Bill Belichick and New England. Ryan Fitzpatrick, Andy Dalton. I don't know that you're doing handstands at this
point.
What's
the question?
Well, I mean, who would you want out of that group? Is there anybody?
Yeah,
are you going
to
wait
not
for
really
whatever?
Any of them. I mean, yeah. I think that if you have to settle for Sam Darnold, you could find ways to justify that that's an upgrade and you can work with a young quarterback and develop him. Marcus Mariota is a guy I think would be more advanced, and you could justify turning to him and paying him, even if it's his contract is, you know, incentive laden and has to, you know, balloon if he starts so many games. That means you're doing something well. But I think that I don't like the idea of – I don't know the difference between Ryan Fitzpatrick and Nick Foles. It's not a big enough difference for me to justify adding him to the mix and drafting a quarterback to be a bridge to – none of those scenarios are exciting. You know, the only – that's why when the possibility pops up, that's why people are pouncing on this in terms of any little morsel of hope. We're going to look at as this great big feast of optimism, because we want to believe that it's possible the Bears can have a plan at quarterback that doesn't involve guys who make you shrug. And Russell Wilson doesn't make you shrug. And if there's a possibility, you've got to explore it. If you're Ryan Pace, you've got to engage and you've got to think big until you're told absolutely that's not going to happen.
And there's one other list I want to throw at you, and we'll get to the phone calls. That list would be the teams still looking for a quarterback. So if you're in competition here, it's against, and again, some of these teams have high draft picks and will probably draft one. Jags, Jets, Eagles, Carolina, Denver, the Patriots, the Washington football team, and the Saints. I hope I'm not missing anyone there either.
There are a lot of those teams that because of the draft or because of who they're bringing back or have targeted have better situations at quarterback than the Bears currently do. And the options for the Jaguars, they may not be a better team in 2021, but you feel better about their quarterback situation because they're about to draft a generational talent. Same with the Jets, you know, same with a lot of teams on that list because of where they are in the draft and who they're going to end up with. Via draft or trade. With the Bears, you just don't have any sense that any of the options, any of the scenarios that we've talked about and discussed are that good, which is why you leave the door to Hallis Hall open ajar in case Mitch Trubisky walks back through it. Because of all the things that you just mentioned, you have to add Mitch to that possibility and those scenarios. I don't care about hurt feelings. You're going to have to come up. If you're desperate, you're desperate. And the Bears so far remain desperate.
The Score listener line is powered by BetQL. Bet smarter, beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. Let's try Jack. He's listening in Michigan. Hey, Jack.
Hey, Jack.
Good morning. How are you?
Good.
Yeah, I'm all excited about the Russell Wilson stories and everything, but then I think, he's been sacked a lot. Why did he play badly last year in the second half? Is he injured? And then because this Jake, remember when we got Jay Cutler in the trade, we're all jumped for joy. Oh my gosh, we got our quarterback. Oh my gosh. You know, big breaking news, and guess what happened? So I'm a little, you know, it's temper for me. That's all. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Jack. Well, yeah. Molly, there is a big difference, and I was one of those guys excited, too, when Jay Cutler, when that trade was announced and the anticipation of it. But Jay Cutler in 2009 and Russell Wilson in 2021, they are quarterbacks at different stages of their respective careers. And Jay Cutler, as much hope as accompanied him to Chicago, was not a guy whose career was on a Hall of Fame trajectory like Russell Wilson. So there is a difference there.
Willie is on the north side. Hey, Willie.
Hey, Willie.
How you guys doing? Haven't talked to you since COVID last year when we had that conversation. The reason why Russell Wilson wants out of Seattle is because he's concerned about his legacy. Think about this. If he got to Chicago to be the first black quarterback in Chicago to bring a Super Bowl or two to beat Green Bay, his stock would go through the roof. I think he's thinking about his bigger picture, his outside of the football arena. This would cement him as one of the greatest quarterbacks, particularly in Chicago's history. It would be brilliant on his part to try and get here, win a Super Bowl or two, and think about his true long-term future. That would be, I think he's thinking about himself, and I don't blame him.
Molly?
That would make his legacy, no question about it. Well, I mean, if you win here, you're going to be a god.
Okay.
I don't know that that's what drives him, but it's an interesting idea that doing it in a big market turns him into a different player. He's hidden on the Pacific Northwest.
Let's say that his legacy is what drives him. Legacies are defined when you're an NFL quarterback by how many championships you win, the Super Bowl rings, right? How many rings does Tom Brady have? It makes him greater than Joe Montana because six is greater than four, and all these things and all these equations. Russell Wilson has a better shot at winning a Super Bowl and enhancing his legacy if he stays in Seattle and plays for the Seahawks for the next 5 years than he does coming to Chicago in a franchise that doesn't know what a franchise quarterback looks like because we've never had one and getting to a Super Bowl. I just think that's...
you know that and I know that, but don't tell Ross.
Well, that's the thing. I don't know how it enhances the guy's legacy to go to a franchise that is a dead end for quarterbacks. How does that make sense?
If you come to the quarterback burial ground and you somehow lead a Super Bowl run, doesn't that make you even more? Ross's perspective, he's thinking they've got the defense. They can win on defense. I'll supply the offense. And then we win multiple championships. And I'm a legend, according to Willie on the north side.
He's got wanderlust. He wants to, the grass is greener mentality. Certainly, I understand that. But that's different than saying I am worried about my legacy. If he were concerned about his legacy, he would want to be a one franchise quarterback that wins multiple Super Bowls with the same franchise. And that would make him a Hall of Fame lock based on where he is right now, which is a Hall of Fame likely quarterback based on what he's done already.
Where would you rather play? Would you rather play in a division that seems like they're pretty good up and down the line? You got a lot of good things going on with different teams in that division. You've got the Rams are suddenly look like they're going to make another run. San Francisco's got a lot positive going for it in terms of the coach. Arizona, are they getting any better? Or would you rather come and oh my God, the Lions are rebuilding. What's going on with Minnesota? Are they ever getting over the hump? We got to beat Green Bay. I hope they don't get J.J. Watt, but it doesn't matter.
Well, I think if you're Russell Wilson, your perspective is not influenced by looking at rosters of possible divisional opponents. Your perspective is driven and fueled by ego and ego alone. So you think that you're going to Chicago and you will own the town once you win the Super Bowl. I understand that allure. I get it totally. I just don't think it's it's very sensible from a football perspective. It doesn't – I don't think – if I had $100 right now, I would bet it on – and I had to pick either the Bears or the Seahawks to win another the Super Bowl quickest, it wouldn't be the Bears that I put the money on, Molly. I'm sorry. It okay. just wouldn't be.
Would it be if Russ was here and not there?
Well, yes, I suppose. But that guess that's my point. If I'm Russell Wilson and I think that I can choose which franchise would be a safer bet to win a Super Bowl with, I'm not betting on the Bears because of my previous success in Seattle. His worst season, they won 9 games. Okay? This guy is spoiled by what he has created there. So the grass is going to seem greener because he has never experienced anything else. But I don't think it makes sense.
Okay, but when we see great players leave great coaches, who wins? I mean, Tom Brady just won. I may have put that argument to rest. No, Bill Belichick's the greatest coach in the history of the game. Bill Belichick, in all his years in New England, what has he never done? Draft a quarterback in the first round. Now, you can argue, well, he didn't have to because Tom was there the whole time. He had Drew Bledsoe, who was drafted before, and then Tom, and Tom's there forever. But he's drafted every other position with a number one pick. I'm not counting kicker or punter. He's never drafted a quarterback in the first round.
I'm not saying that Russell Wilson is not – more valuable to the Seahawks than Pete Carroll. I understand that the point's well taken. It is a small sample size of guys who have done that, but it is what is driving this, I think, in Russell Wilson's mind, is that he wants to be recognized and he wants to go to a place where he has more say than a powerful head coach, the Tom Brady effect, if you will. But maybe I am jaded by the fact that I've seen the Bears be the Bears so often over the last generation. I don't look at this as him coming to Chicago and then winning a Super Bowl and all of the things falling into place the way that they would have to fall into place given the people who were running the operation. I just am more cynical, probably overly cynical when it comes to that. I just think that if I'm Russell Wilson, you know, cooler heads will prevail eventually. You know, instead of letting Russ cook, let Russ simmer, okay? And he will come to his senses and realize that the best spot for him is where he wakes up, you know, every football morning, and that is Seattle.
All right, let's turn it around then. All right, you got Aaron Rodgers and Mike McCarthy. And Aaron Rodgers stays and McCarthy goes. I mean, he gets fired, but he goes. And McCarthy goes down to Dallas, and there's bells. And you got Aaron Rodgers staying in Green Bay. Who won that one?
Great example. Great example. Why? Aaron Rodgers won that one, but why?
Quarterback over coach, I guess.
And he stayed. But he stayed. So that's my point.
But I'm saying it works each way. It's Tom leaving Bill, and it's McCarthy leaving Aaron, and the quarterback wins both those times.
True. So which is the one more likely to happen based on what you know about the Bears organization?
I think from an outsider standpoint, and he's an outsider, he hasn't looked under the hood of the car. He doesn't know how the engine runs. He just sees, like, hey, they got a pretty good defense. You know, that Anthony Miller reminds me of a young
I just threw my pen. Okay. I just threw my pen.
I went too far. Oh, I just threw the argument.
You had me. I mean, really, it's a really good comparison because you're right. The Rodgers and the Brady examples are very opposite. The quarterback won both in both cases, but the coach had to go in Green Bay. The quarterback stayed. The quarterback left New England, went to Tampa. They won the Super Bowl. The Packers didn't lose the Super Bowl because of Aaron Rodgers. And Russell Wilson puts himself in that category. But you had to bring up Anthony Miller, and that ruined it for me.
I know. I totally threw a spanner in the works. It's just that you were listening too closely. I could see you, so I had to have some fun.
I got my pen back.
I just texted you that you're welcome to the Mets. All right.
Let's go to baseball.
Let's get to Tommy Hotovy. We're going to do that next. Molly and Haw, The Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
Pitching coach Tommy Hotovy of the Cubs wearing the blue pullover. Tommy Hotovy, pitching coach for the Chicago Cubs.
You're transitioning from being a player to kind of getting into baseball. You take an online class, was it at Boston U, Sabermetrics 101?
Yeah. I was a finance major in college, and I had an economics minor. A lot of it was to, I'm going to refresh all my econ knowledge, and I'm going to do it in a baseball course. It's like one of the best things ever.
There's just a lot of trust there with Tommy. We know he's such a hard worker. He puts in all the hours and really, really knows what he's talking about when it comes to pitching.
Tommy Hotovy, breaking down the starting rotation and bullpen on the north side with Mully and Hall.
I'm here for one reason. I want to help these guys get better, and we want to win baseball games.
Tommy Hotovy on 670 The Score. The Score.
Tommy. Mully and Hall, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. We love talking to Tommy Hotovy in The Score. Hotline is presented by Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park on North Avenue or apford.com. Tommy, good morning. How are you?
Morning, Tommy.
Good morning, gentlemen. Good to hear you.
Well, I got to tell you, you know what's great is you know us. You don't have to meet us for the first time. You must be getting weary of walking around kind of shaking hands and getting to know your pitching staff.
It's a lot of elbow bumps and fist bumps. And, you know, when you have so many people in camp like we did this year too, and, you know, there's a lot of new faces and everybody's wearing masks. So, like, you kind of get to know a person by the top half of their face, and then once you do that, they all go outside and they have hats on and no masks, so you kind of relearn everybody. But no, it's been fun to get to know some guys down here, and it's been a good first week.
So Tommy, in the offseason, obviously the Cubs trade Darvish, John Lester and Jose Quintana leave, a lot of institutional knowledge walks out the clubhouse door, and I would think that it changes your job, or it changes maybe some of the things that you have to worry about this spring that maybe you didn't have to worry about before, just because of those new faces, because of the new arms and maybe different approaches. How has it changed your job description, if it has?
Well, there's a lot of getting to know guys. You know, there's been a lot of equity built up with, you know, with like the names you mentioned, John and Q and obviously Darvish. You build up that equity over time, and then you're able to make changes a little bit quicker and implement things a little bit faster. So it's really important to get to know guys, especially this first week, get to know what makes them tick. You know, we're obviously going to push guys and kind of help them see some ways that we can help them make some adjustments or kind of, you know, fine tune their craft a little bit. But you have to build that equity. You have to build that trust, and it doesn't happen overnight. And luckily, we've had some success, and we've had guys that will, I don't know, like sing the praises of the work that our, you know, pitching infrastructure does. But still, like, you know, with all that being said, it does take time to build that equity and that trust, and that's what we're kind of working toward every day.
You know, we keep hearing when we talk about your starting staff that that it's more of a kind of contact-oriented pitching staff, that you guys are not going to be just trying to get strikeouts. You're going to rely on your defense more, and that's pretty much a standard thing as you go from starter to starter. Is that an oversimplification? Is that a fairly obvious thought?
Yeah, I mean, to answer your question, I've felt even when we had, you know, Darvish and John and Peak, Jake Arrieta and a lot of these guys have come through here, I've still felt like we've been kind of a pitch to contact oriented pitching staff. You know, we value outs, you know, bottom line, and you know, there's a lot of different ways to get out to the major league level, and we have a team that won the team gold glove last year. So, you know, we have a strength in our organization is the way we can play defense and the way we can position and do those things. And so we're absolutely going to take advantage of it. And if that allows us to get pitchers that are a little bit more contact oriented, then, you know, we're going to take advantage of the great players we have behind us. But, you know, we understand there's right times to attack swing and miss. There's also right times to pitch to weak contact. And it's just the balance between all that. We feel confident with the guys that we have that can kind of do both.
Tommy, as much fun as it's been to see Jake Arrieta kind of be your assistant pitching coach and work with the young pitchers like Alzolay and others, you know, he's here to win games. He's here to be the guy that is as good as in that rotation as anybody, any veteran. What's realistic to expect from Jake Arrieta, and how different of a pitcher is he now than the last time Cubs fans saw him wearing number 49?
Well, I mean, it's going to be different in the fact that, you know, we were extremely lucky to see peak Jake Arrieta, who was at the time arguably the best pitcher in baseball, you know, for a 3-year stretch there. And you know, I think there's a lot of really exciting things to look forward to with Jake. I think to put the pressure on him to be that same guy, I think, is unrealistic, just because it's been, you know, 4 or 5 years from those, you know, those crazy seasons that you put together. So, but what you get with Jake is a guy who comes to work every single day, a guy who knows what he needs to do to be successful. We're getting back to the basics with a lot of things that he felt like he kind of got either got derailed by injuries over the last few years, or just lost focus on and kind of wants to get back to some of the basics. And look, like, he's a guy that's going to just go out there every fifth day and give you everything he has. And as a group, as an organization, that's what matters. The players behind him love playing to him because the ball moves all over the place. There's a lot of weak contact. There's, you know, he attacks a strike zone. And I think there's a lot of good things to look forward to Jake this year. And you mentioned just that leadership and kind of taking guys like Albert Azulay under his wing. And like, I put those guys in his group for a reason. You know, these guys, we're fortunate to have Kyle Hendricks and Arrieta, you know, two guys that you really want to model, you know, people after in terms of their work ethic, their what they do, you know, going into the season, what they do going into each start and all that. So it's really cool to see those relationships start to form, and some of these veteran guys are really starting to set amazing examples, but really starting to take these guys under their wing and show them what it takes to pitch in the big leagues for a long time.
You know, we know Jake, and we know what he was once was. We know Kyle Hendricks, and he's still Kyle Hendricks. We kind of know Alzolay, Mills, but we don't know Zach Davies, and we don't know Trevor Williams. What have you learned with them, what they like to do? How have you incorporated them into what you know about them?
Well, I mean, you know, Zach Davies, it's easy, you know, to see a lot of the same comparisons to Kyle Hendricks, just with the stuff and the velocity and even his, you know, history of putting up consistent innings and being a strike thrower and all those things. But it's unique because they are different. They have different mechanics. You know, Davies really pitches a lot off the 2 and 4. The 2-seam and the changeup. And, you know, Kyle's been mixing the 4-seam a little bit more and pitching up in the zone a little bit more at the 2. So, you know, there's a lot of similarities, but there's also a lot of differences in how we can kind of match up what each one does really well. He's about as even keel a guy as I've ever seen. You know, just talking to him, you get the vibe that he's unfazed with a lot of different things. And guys that throw, you know, with that low velocity, you better have, you know, a low heartbeat like Kyle. You know, they just, it's really similar demeanor. They're, you know, they work hard, they're businesslike, and just go out there and compete. It's fun to watch, you know, get to know him and watch him. You know, and Trevor Williams is a little bit unique, and just, you know, he had an elite year, you know, back in 2018, kind of got away from some stuff in 2019, and it felt like, you know, a lot of guys did last year, that they just didn't get comfortable with the start and the stop and then start back up again. And he was fighting some things mechanically. Really unique arm slot. You know, the way he gets down the mound, a lot of extension, low slot, so he can kind of play from a different angle than a lot of other pitchers do. You'll see, like, Arrieta is so tall and upright, and, you know, when he's right, he's over the top. And I think Trevor's a little bit different. So he can kind of create some different angles that maybe some of our pitchers don't have or don't get to exploit, just with the way he naturally throws. And we're just kind of refining some things for him, continuing to work on his repertoire, but also just getting him back to where he feels like he's himself mechanically. But yeah, it's a fun group with the names you mentioned earlier, with, you know, with Millsy and Advert. You know, it's a good group of guys that are working hard and feeding off each other and going to push each other all spring.
Tommy, before we let you go quickly, how was your offseason? We know we haven't talked to you in a while, and you probably enjoyed all but Super Bowl Sunday, I think.
That's literally what I was going to say. Other than one day, it was a pretty good offseason. It was busy. You know, I tell people, for all the quote-unquote inactivity that it felt like, you know, through most of the winter, like, we're constantly, you know, evaluating players, on the phone with players, trying to, you know, make the right decisions for our organization. We probably evaluated and talked to more guys this offseason trying to find the best fits for what we're trying to do here. And it was good. The collaboration between, you know, like Breslow and the front office and what we want to do on the pitching side and what we're able to accomplish. I think we feel good about where we're heading in 21 in a lot of different areas throughout the organization on the pitching side. So it was fun. It was a good offseason.
Tommy, thanks a ton. Great catching up with you. It's really just the greatest time of year when there's hope in the air and baseball coming back. It's just beautiful.
Thanks, Tommy.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
That's Tommy Hottovy, the Cubs pitching coach. God, it's nothing like the hopefulness of spring training, David, especially in the midst of all this. We're going to bring in Tony La Russa next. We'll talk to the White Sox manager. That should be a ton of fun. It's Mully and Haas, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to the Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.